Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
McGee gets the sign he wants from Casale. The 0-2 pitch. Fastball struck him out swinging. 96 miles an hour. The game is over. The series is over. The homestand is over. And for the Giants, it was a very satisfying week here at Oracle Park.
There it is. 8-4. Giants off to a tremendous start. It's always fun to talk to Farhan Zaidi. We do it every couple of weeks here on the Sports Leader. Farhan, how are you?
Hey, doing well. I'm talking to you here from my hotel room in Miami, getting ready to go with the first game of the series tomorrow.
Okay. So make sure, don't get the Miami flu. Stay in tonight.
Yeah.
Take care of
Clevelander.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm figuring out this road thing. I actually haven't been on the road with the team since my son was born in July of 19. So these guys are in a really good position to haze me and pull the wool over my eyes. It's been a while.
I was going to ask you to confirm something. I'm going to ask you to go a step further and say it for us. Can you say Jake McGee is our closer?
Yeah, those are the words that everybody seems to be dancing around. The way I'm going to dance around is I'm going to say that's the manager's responsibility. So you can ask Captain. Naming those roles. That's the skipper's job.
I agree. We just don't get to talk to Gabe as much as we talk to you. Let me try to work it this way.
Get him for you. He's right down the hall.
Yeah, you tell him to come here. That's all I need him to come. If he could just come on the air and go, hey, guys, what's up? He's our closer, and then just hand the phone back to you. That'd be fantastic. That'd be great
he might
radio.
He might be cracking on that one, so people should keep asking him.
Would it be fair if I could say us, but I'll say me. Would it be fair for me to say Jake McGee is the Giants' closer? Would that be fair for – if I wanted to say that – Should I feel like I'm on solid ground saying that?
Sure. I don't see why not. I mean, I don't know what you think is fair or unfair, but yeah, absolutely. Guys leading the league in saves, so yeah, I don't think that's unfair.
I'll take what I can get. I will take what I can get. So let me ask you about him, because he has been so good, and he's a one-pitch guy, basically. He's a strike thrower. He moves it around the zone. What is it about him that you saw, the arm and the mentality that he could handle? We won't call it a close, we'll call it a late inning role, high leverage situations. what was it about him that you liked?
Well, he's a really experienced guy. He's been a few organizations and really think he made some key adjustments last year in LA. And with the type of fastball he has, he's got that rising fastball that's been so popular in the game these days, with hitters trying to lift the ball. Playing at Coors was really the worst case scenario for him, so some of this was just getting out of that environment, but made some mechanical changes last year and struck out a ton of guys and didn't walk anyone last year, and that's what you want from the guy coming in to close down the game in the ninth or the eighth or whenever the manager decides to use him. But just the extreme strike throwing, missing bats, not walking guys, and we've seen a lot of that early in the season. And, that's kind of what you want from your closer. You want him to come in with good stuff and throw strikes.
There have been so many good things so far. I mean, the team has not hit, and yet you're off to a good start. The rotation looks good. The bullpen has been doing real well. You just mentioned McGee. Defense, which I even Gabe kind of voiced concern about in March, has been stellar since the opener. Johnny Cueto, I did see went on the 10-day DL with the grade 1 lat strain today. What is your biggest concern? I saw the other day, Farhan, you said, getting through all these innings for 162, rotation depth, I guess, is what you suggested. But after looking at McGee and Rogers and their workload, I would think maybe a right-handed reliever, you know, or right-handed relieving depth would be the issue. What do you view as the number one issue here?
Yeah, I'd still say it's a starting pitching depth. I mean, obviously losing Johnny, it makes you feel a little bit exposed. But we're hoping that, it's more on the order of, weeks rather than months. And the early returns in terms of the information we've gotten has been encouraging. You know, we've got Alex Wood, starting a game for us this weekend. And so, you know, the timing, you know, if there's ever a time for one of your best starting pitchers to go down, it's when somebody else is, you know, ready to come in and take their place. So, that timing is a little bit fortunate, but, you know, when the injuries start piling up, you've got a couple guys going down, that's when you start to have some concern. So I'd say that's still the number one thing. I think that's first and foremost on a lot of teams' minds right now. But I think the bullpen and the right-handed reliever depth is a fair concern also with Maranta going down. Again, a lot of this winds up getting connected back to injuries and how that can affect your depth chart, because when Reyes was, before he went down, he was throwing well and you felt like he was almost, you know, that seventh inning guy to go along with Rogers and McGee at the back end of the game. So that's definitely going to be something we're going to have to keep an eye on, making sure that we have bullpen balance, because, even with the rotation pitching well, we're asking, and I imagine we're going to continue to ask a lot of those guys.
So is the idea that Cueto would miss multiple starts dealing with this issue?
Yeah, I mean, with a 10-day minimum, it's probably going to be at least two starts. And, you know, beyond the 10 days, I guess we'll see. Some of this is just a function of, you know, how he feels a few days in and whether he trends up, you know, quickly or if it's a lower thing. So it's hard to say, but I would say it's at least a couple of starts, yeah.
But general overview, you know, you guys like guys who can play multiple positions. You like having guys where you can sort of mix and match the things you want to do. You like to be versatile. You like to be flexible. Just looking at what this team has done so far this year as a group, I've been saying to the guys where it seems like whatever type of baseball game happens to take place that day, you guys have been able to operate in that space. You know, if we got to bring out the bats and hits like you did in the first game, unfortunately it was a loss, but like you did a couple of nights ago against the Reds, you can do that. If it's a tense, tight game, if it's a pitching duel, to use that term, or you guys got to, you know, manufacture runs and play small ball, you can do that. Is that what you envision for this team, and has that happened for you guys quicker than expected, if that was indeed the grand plan?
I think that's what you would aspire to when you put together a roster. You want to have a team that can win in different ways because, you know, as we're talking about, you know, our bullpen's been pitching well, the defense has been solid, but, you know, the bats, that's, you know, what we anticipated being the strength of this team. We've hit some homers, but we're hitting, you know, barely over 200 as a team. And, you know, that's going to get better, but, you know, it's unlikely that our rotation is going to have a sub-3 ERA the whole season. That's just not sustainable. So, you know, you kind of want to have different parts of the team and different players on the team that can carry you for different stretches, because no one portion of the team is going to be able to power through 162 games. So that's been really cool to see, because we know that we're going to hit better, but maybe that puts a little bit less pressure on our pitching staff and our bullpen. I mean, those guys have come in and shut down the opposition with a lot of really slim leads, and hopefully our offense can start giving those guys a little bit more margin for error.
We talked about last week about Gabe Kapler and his, obviously you guys are going to use the analytics, but he's a former player, so he understands what it's like to be out there and play, and kind of, I think the best of both worlds is, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I'm wondering about the Cueto decision to leave him in, because I felt like I was watching a no-hitter or perfect game. I was like, oh, my gosh, he has a chance to pitch a complete game, which is almost as rare as those things seemingly. But that decision was, you know, we're going to let Cueto bat, then maybe he'll come out, then he goes back in, then there's a hit, and Gabe comes out, then all of a sudden he leaves. I'm wondering if you'd have made that decision last year. Was it because it's Cueto? Was it because you have a guy like Buster who could say, you know, and he's been around, he could say, look, he's got great stuff, leave him in there. I mean, I'm just curious about that decision. And is that a change from last year? A little bit, you think? I guess managers are always evolving like players. So I thought that was a really neat moment and kind of a you know, decision that maybe we wouldn't have seen prior. I don't know. Maybe we would have.
Yeah, no, it was great theater. I mean, I was kind of watching with everyone else, like, oh, the fans are booing. Is he going to leave him in or not? Oh, he left him in. Fans are cheering. You know, so I was enjoying it along with everybody else. I mean, it was, you know, one of the things with Johnny is he's got so much experience. He knows himself and his body so well that mm-hmm. when he says, hey, I'm good, I can keep going, you know, you trust him, especially a guy like him. Who's not really max effort. He's kind of throttling up and down. And sometimes you see his best velocities really at the end of the game when he's kind of sniffing the finish line. So I think Gabe factored all that into that decision. And yeah, I mean, it was a really cool moment, home opener to have, you know, Johnny, who's really one of the, you know, great characters in baseball and a guy who plays to the fans as well as anybody. But going back to last year and not playing in front of fans, and, you know, I go back to the start of the season in particular, and we were so concerned about the health of our pitchers, you know, having had, you know, a really brief camp to ramp pitchers up. And maybe looking back, we were too concerned about that. We were too conservative with our pitch counts early in the season. But certainly coming into this year with a longer camp, you know, with Johnny in particular a year away from a year further off from his Tommy John surgery, you know, little bit of a training wheels are coming off situation. Yep. And I thought it was a cool moment, and I think it really propelled us to a lot of the success of this homestand.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, we had Susan Slusser on yesterday, and I was asking her about, I thought it was interesting that you guys have so many players that are in the walk year of their contract. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a healthy situation. Competition always is a good thing. She kind of described my question as cynical, but which, you know, I've been called cynical before. It's funny. But what do you think as far as the makeup of a roster? Do you think it's healthy to have? I mean, competition's great. You got a ton of guys. You got 4/5 of your rotation are in their walk year. You got a lot of guys who are big. These are big years for them. Would you rather have a team full of guys signed up long term, or would you rather have a high percentage of your guys in the walk year? And was it by design?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about our team and our roster being a little bit of transition. So kind of as we go through it, it's sort of a function of that we wind up with a lot of guys on one-year deal or short-term deals. And again, just because a guy's on a one-year deal doesn't mean he won't be here next year, because a lot of the guys we have, especially, you know, if hopefully we keep this up as a team, we've got a group in the clubhouse that really enjoys playing for this team, that, you know, loves the city and the fans. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys, even if they perform well and want to test the market, will have really strong interest in coming back. So I do think it can be a motivator for guys, but, you know, there's some benefit to stability too. And hopefully, you know, as things evolve and kind of the longer term picture for us becomes clearer, you know, there's certainly a lot of guys on this team that, you know, even those who are on shorter term deals, that hopefully will be here for a long time.
Farhan Zaidi joining us on the UMA guest line here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. Austin Slater, just want to give him his moment to give you a moment to sing his praises. When that guy's healthy, and he's right, he's a pretty dangerous guy with a bat in his hands. And Tommy has been mentioning, you know, when Slater's going to right field, that's when you know he's locked in and he's feeling healthy, you know, his ability to drive the ball in that respect.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, a couple huge hits on the homestand and, you know, probably the biggest base running play of the homestand, scoring on that ground ball. You know, and then you toss in, even though he hasn't really been tested in the field, we're playing in center field, which is an indication of the confidence that we and the staff have in him as a defender. So he's really turning into a pretty good all-around player, and like a few of the guys on this team, kind of started in a platoon role and is getting more opportunities to play every day, and he's earned it. And you love to see a guy that can, you know, help you win in a number of different ways, and Austin certainly fits that category.
With the way the pitching staff is throwing, I know this isn't quantifiable, what Buster does behind home plate, I guess framing pitches is, but how much comfort level do the pitchers have, and how does that translate to what they're doing, and that they can trust what Buster's putting down and just throw it?
I mean, the rhythm and the pace of the entire pitching staff has been so terrific. I mean, how many times have we seen a pitcher, one of our pitchers, shake multiple times or have to step off the mound because he's not getting the pitch that he wants to throw? There's a lot of faith in him, and with good reason. So I think, you know, as much as the tangible things, you know, the actual game calling, knowing opposing hitters, you know, reading opposing hitters' swings, just the cadence of the game for our pitching staff has been so good. I think that's kind of fed into their success because, you know, as we saw at times last year, when guys get out of their rhythm, it can affect their performance. And fortunately, we haven't seen much of that this year.
It's funny, the 49ers have a huge decision about the quarterback, right? And they're debating between, you know, Fields and Mac Jones and Trey Lance. And I'm just kind of wondering, you guys do this every year as well in June. You look at a bunch of young players and you're trying to project them to sometimes 7-8 years down the road. Would you prioritize baseball skill or that premier athlete if you had two equal players? I mean, because that's kind of what they're trying to debate. You know, one guy's super skilled and the other guys are maybe futuristic type athletes. Which do you prefer?
Yeah, I've been consuming all that 49ers draft content just like everyone else. I think it's a really fascinating decision, and I can't say I've seen much of these guys, but you know, I do think at times it's easy to put some of these players, you know, into categories and try to fit them in boxes. And a lot of times the guys that are really doing the research and the digging, that have gotten to know the personalities, that have, you know, talked to these players, coaches and people around them, you know, there's a completely there's a full additional dimension of information that, you know, we in the public don't necessarily have access to. So that's not, you know, trying to say, hey, look, these guys know what you can't possibly know what they know. But,
right.
But you know, when I'm watching other sports, I go, hey, here's my casual fan take, but just, you know, knowing what I know of the baseball draft and a little bit of the asymmetry between the information that's out there and the information that you're collecting privately, you know, I kind of shrug my shoulders and go, they've got a lot more information than I do. So I'm going to have my angry fan opinion, but, you know, I know that, you know, the guys, especially that front office, have done a great job, and it's going to be fun. I'm really excited to see who they wind up picking.
So when it comes to a draft, the one question I've always said that I would ask if I could get a truthful answer was, do you love the game? Do you want to work at it? And that would be, you can't find that out, though. You got to go about ways of finding that out without actually finding it out. Some guys to get drafted and get a bonus is a goal. Some guys to play a few minor league seasons. I mean, everyone has different ideas of what success is. Some guys want to be great. How do you even try to do that? Is your body language, talking to a bunch of people? I mean, how do you find out whether someone truly loves a sport until you get them on one of your teams?
Yeah, it's tough because what you really want to know is what kind of effort you're going to get from guys when nobody's watching, you know?
Right.
It's really easy to say the right thing in front of scouts and, you know, play the game the quote-unquote right way when you know there are guys in the stands. But, you know, I think about our sport and – you draft a guy, even the, you know, glamour pick in the first round, then he's, you know, in the minor leagues for 2 or 3 years, and that's not very glamorous, and you really have to love the game to grind through that and improve. And in some cases, you know, not all cases, but, you know, drafting a quarterback, especially if it's somebody that you expect is going to stay for a year, you know, you want to be taking someone who's going to take that role seriously, and you know, you're not getting out there on Sundays and reaping the benefits, but who's going to grind and get better so when it is their turn, they're ready to go. So I think there's some similarities there, and it's a tough one because, you know, the interaction you have with these guys yourself, they're going to say and do what they know you want to see and hear. And so, yeah, that's really the big question with all these guys, and I can't say I have the silver bullet, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, no one does. If they did, they'd be drafted major leaguers every
right,
single
exactly.
draft, right? And it's just
I'm hiring
just
that guy who's figured it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Know who he is.
Yeah, give him a window too. You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
oh
exactly.
Man.
Yeah, he could have my office.
Hey, congrats on the start. I know it's 12 games, but hey, 8-4 is 8-4, and I was saying yesterday that means a lot to just a team's confidence, and you never know what that can lead to, and you feel good driving to the ballpark, you feel good in the clubhouse, you feel good taking BP. It's just a whole different vibe early in the season when you start off winning, so that's a good positive sign. So we always appreciate you stopping by. It's always fun talking to you, and best of luck on your first road trip. Don't get lost down there.
I'll try not to. I'll try to get to the buses on time.
Yeah, make sure. Get the first bus. That's always the best bus.
All right.
Thanks, Farhan. Appreciate
See you,
it.
Farhan.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.